All right, let's open the book of Exodus chapter 4. I want to read from there this evening. Exodus chapter 4. And I just want to remind us of the commissioning that God gave to Moses. And he gave him instructions concerning what to do. Let's just start from verse 21, just to get in a bit of context. The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. Now notice verse 24. Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. That is, the Lord let Moses alone. At that time he said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Now, while we're reading this, we're going to continue praying. It's our school of prayer. And I've been emphasizing to us a number of things concerning prayer. And the one we have been emphasizing is the fact that prayer is used on ourselves first. It is a way by which we align ourselves to what God wants us to be and towards what God wants us to, well, also perform or do on the earth. Prayer is not just, or is not first about getting our needs met. You cannot be the person God wants you to be except to pray. You are transformed using the weapon of the Word of God applied by prayer. The way you apply the weapons of the Spirit is through prayer. I hope you're getting my point. So we have been looking at that for some time, that prayer is not first of all about our personal desires. That is, as in, what do I eat? What will I drink? With what will I, you know, clothe myself? How will I take care of my responsibilities? That's not what prayer is about first. Prayer is that you take the word of God, you take the shield of faith, you take, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You apply all of them. Paul said, praying always with all manner of prayer. I hope you're getting my point. All kinds of prayer. We apply these things in prayer. It is not possible to lead an effective Christian life except praying is your habit. All right? Now, so that's what we are learning in our school of prayer. So we've been looking at this again, these things again and again. When you find yourself deficient in certain areas of life, you solve those things by imbibing, by praying about them, discovering the word of God, and then applying the word that you have discovered with prayer. That is the primary assignment concerning for which prayer was given to us. Listen, in life, no Christian, now listen to this, no Christian has any disadvantage. Why God doesn't care about those disadvantages is that he already made provisions for solving them. They came to him and said, who sinned that this one should be born blind? Was it him or his parents? And he said, it's always funny when you say, how could he have sinned to be born blind? But anyway, they asked anyway. And Jesus did not even address that. What did he address? He said, neither. Now, but he said that the word, what do you call it? How do you say it again? But that the glory of God may be displayed in him, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. He wasn't there analyzing where did this come from. I hope you're getting my point. These days, we are so much into analysis. Was your great-grandfather and a slave trader? Was your family into this? we analyze, say, listen, if you have the solution, the analysis is not necessary. I'll be getting my point. If somebody is telling you, you have to go to the village and go and dig something, it doesn't have the solution to your problem. If he has to go and cut down a tree in the back of your father's compound, it is evidence that it doesn't have the solution. Now, let me say that some people have not heard this before. Let them hear it again. It is evidence that he doesn't have the solution. Once he's telling you, let us go and dig something up. Listen, those are traditional practices some people brought into Christianity. It is not Christianity. Nobody dug anything you saw. Nobody that was being delivered in the scriptures dug anything anywhere. This one in which prophets have appointments with you in the village and they come with pickaxe and shovel to start looking for things buried is a sign that both you and the prophet are not going anywhere. You know, some people don't know. You know stop lying. Have they ever delivered you? You know, you did this 5 years ago. What did you say? They tell you another deliverance. When they finish that one, they say, ah, that was your father. We need to go to your grandfather. They've been to your grandfather's grave. Continue digging, you hear? Explorer. I hope you're getting my point. But I'll go and join the archaeologists. At least you will learn something and contribute something to science. You're just wasting your time. If they really had the solution, they wouldn't be discussing where this, you know, those things came from, with generations. If they had the solution now. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes, yeah, if they did, they wouldn't be doing that. So bear it in mind. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. Anyway, but Jesus said, listen, if the glory of God is going to be manifested in this guy, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. So bear this in mind. God, what he's doing now, as I was trying to explain to us, is that he's changing us individually. That's what he's trying to do. And anytime he wants to change us like that, he gives us a word, we apply that word with prayer. Please, I want to just explain something. It's a story that's on my mind. It happened to me this morning, my daughter and I, okay? And it's a beautiful thing. You know, I'm blessed. Oh. Somebody say, Pastor, you are blessed. Oh. You'll see what I'm saying to you in a moment. My daughter and I were the only ones in the house this morning. I left, all right? She's on holiday, just returning to school this week, but I was going, leaving. So please come and help me. And she came out of the house and saw a dead bird at our door. Just as we pass the door, like they say, a bird, dead, there, dead. I just feel like sharing this thing. It's very funny. My wife is hearing it for the first time because she had left the house. So I came out. Now, what I want to talk about is how calmly she took it. So I came out and saw it. I said, what is this? She came out before me and said, I saw it there. Actually, I was down earlier to put my bag in the car. The bird was in there. Came down later, it was there. Dead. I just come out from my front door like this. We're just lying, just where the car could drive up to the, you know, the porch there. It was the way my daughter just looked at it and just calmly said, I just saw it there. Said the eye is out. So I bent down, really. The eye had come out of the socket. The bird. So she said, what am I supposed to do with it? I said, well, so she let throw it over the fence. I said, no, you can't throw it over the fence. We'll just bury it somewhere. Oh, when they're going to throw it with trash. Throw it into the trash, but we can't just throw it in the bin. No, we just casually talked about it. And I thought to myself, Kai, Father, I thank you for deliverance. Do you know there are people that are not going to work that day? It was the way, my daughter said, didn't come and say, Daddy, come and see something. No, she just said, and walked past. I want to help me drop something in the car, I think. When I came, I said, what is this? So I don't know. I just saw it there. Very calmly, you know, like, so what do we do? Now, for those of you who are wondering, how did it get there? I won't tell you. I want it to steal. Okay, you want to know? Now, my main testimony is the calmness. Nobody thought anything of it. She didn't think anything of it. Because in my family, we have never chased enemies. Enemies don't like chasing us. We are dangerous people to chase. So they chase themselves into their pit. They dig a pit, they fall into it according to scripture. Doesn't bother anybody. So my children are not afraid of that. They've never heard it. In case you're wondering how it happened, I was ironing. When I heard, bam! A very loud, you know, like a bang. I turned. I realized something hit my window. My glass windows are quite big. So unfortunately, the poor bird was flying at high speed that morning. And the angle of that mirrored glass that morning reflected to it like space. So he hit it at full speed. So hard, it burst his head. I didn't know. I just heard the sound. I turned. I said, that must be a bird. And I forgot. It was when I came down later and I saw it. And I saw it there. And my daughter just said, that she looked at it. She didn't. She just bent down, examining the thing, and kept on, just jumped over and continued where she was going. And I left the house. I was driving. I said, God, I want to thank you. So maybe we have a prayer meeting that morning. They will call their pastor that morning. Pastor, I want to go out. I want you to pray. Pastor is wondering, pray about what? I sense an attack of the enemy. He didn't sense any attack. He saw a dead bird on his driveway just near his door. I saw it. I didn't. In fact, I was feeling sorry for the bird. In fact, till for the rest of the day, I was thinking, because it's not the first time it's happening. Sometimes I come, I see mysterious cracks on my, my glass. And I know that a bird has hit it at high velocity. So I've been thinking, what do I do to stop killing these birds? I never seen anyone this bad. So I spent the rest of the day, not the whole day, but I'll think about it. How can I mark this one? So that they will know there's something there. Maybe I should go and paint cats all over my window. So as they're approaching, they will see. I don't know. But what I'm talking about is that, hey, knowledge makes people somebody free. If you know God, you are free. I was just thinking, I said, I know people that would not sleep. That bird, they won't touch it. They tell the children to move back, to move back. Well, here I was mourning over the poor. It was a big one. I felt so bad for the bird. It was going at full speed. Didn't know there was anything there. It was not a witch. So people say, Pastor, how are you sure it's not a witch? It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm sorry, it's a witch. Now it's dead. Abi? Never die. Maybe when I get home there, back home now, I see an old woman, I have to go and call police. Of course, that's not going to happen. That's a joke. If it was a witch, it's dead. Whoever turned to the bird died at home. But trust me, nobody turned to the bird. It's not a strange thing. Birds do it all the time. In high-rise buildings, when they mistake the reflection as open space. How did I get into that? No, my testimony is, for me, my testimony is how my own children react to such things. They don't think anything of it. I've told you, chasing enemies every time with prayer is warping your children's mind. It is. My wife saw a cousin one day. How now? Long time. Where are you? Where are you now? Like, you know the way you say, have you finished your master's program? Where are you now? That kind of question. Or you and your husband, have you moved out of Lagos? Are you not? That kind of question. She said, nobody can know where I am. They will not. It was not my wife, it was my wife's sister. My sister-in-law that said that. That was talking to somebody. She just kindly gave the person space. Gently said, okay, don't worry, I don't want to know where you are. You can't find me. I was just greeting and asking, where are you now? Oh, I am now in Enugu. I live in Transekulu. I work in National Orthopedic Hospital. Simple thing. If you're passing by town, please stop by and let's stay with us overnight. That's what normal people say. This one says, you will not know where I am. You know why? Because they went to churches. I saw one today. I felt bad. I wasn't meant to get there today, but now I'm there, so let's stay there. No, yesterday. They say what happened when... Okay, I'll give you part of the gist. How many people know Awo, Obafemi Awolowo? I know he's not your personal friend. I mean, like, you've heard of him. Yeah. Somebody said that a prominent preacher of those days went to meet him one day. And I said that man was very eloquent. I heard him talk once when I was young, all right? Honestly, as young as I was, I never heard any man more eloquent. I thought every politician had to read from a paper. He talked spontaneously off head and very brilliant man. So when I heard this man describe how brilliant he was, I believed it. But that's not the gist. He said, this prophet went and met him and said, the Lord has chosen you for great work, but you will not fulfill it except you give your life to Christ. For all we know, the man didn't give his life to Christ. So this man now said, so he did not fulfill his destiny. Begin to pray. Every power against my destiny, die. Do you know, I was wondering, what's the connection? You just told me that they told a man that you need to be in Christ to fulfill your destiny. And the man did not fulfill his destiny because he did not accept the demand of the Lord in handing his life over to Jesus Christ. Then you are telling me, I should not pray that I will not miss my destiny. Every power, where is that power? It's not inside me. It's not a stubborn power that's refusing to give his life to Christ. Why will I now be pointed out there and expecting every power that doesn't want me to fulfill my destiny to die by fire? Who will die by fire? Is it not me? I'm the one. Brethren, can we be careful? I'm saying it again. Prayer was given to do what? To change us. When the ways of a man please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Please, witches are not chasing you. Not because they don't want to chase you, but because that's not the problem. If you are like me, if they turn to bird, they will hit your glass. And their eye, you should have seen that bird. The eye actually came out of one socket. Yeah, my daughter was going to point to me. I look, and I bent down and saw it. Was that a witch? Honestly, I don't think it was. But let's assume for your sake that it was. You are the one that wants to believe witches are pursuing you. Is it not dead? The day I told you I found a bat mysteriously in my room. I didn't kill that one. That one didn't die. We threw it away and it flew away. That's more than 10 years ago. My destiny has not been disturbed. Because it's not in the power of flying birds. My son has called me for, Daddy, come. I came into my sitting room. I saw a snake. You know what happened to the snake? I don't throw that one away. We killed it. I know what happened to the snake? It died. And my destiny is still on course. I have never spared any of these people prayer. I've told their prayers if I pray, I wait for the flogging of the Lord. I hope you're getting my point. Please, don't let fear give you unnecessary prayer points. Traditional fears. Please, I need to keep saying that. We have too many people who go to church every day chasing enemies that don't exist or that do not have power over them. It's unnecessary. What did I say?
It's unnecessary.
Say it again.
It's unnecessary.
If you go to church, that's what they do every Sunday. Let me give you a word of advice. Find another church. I know what I'm telling you, especially if you're a married man, married woman, and you go to church with your children. Their minds are being corrupted. That is a problem. Their minds are being warped. Their minds are being twisted. My friend called me once. He lives in the U.S. He said, Banky, come and see me and see trouble. You know the way we say, see me, see trouble. He said, my sister-in-law is around. She was pregnant. She wanted to deliver, and they came abroad to deliver. So you know the way we do sometimes. And her elder sister took her to go and see the pastor to pray because she's pregnant. And it's good when you are going to deliver to pray. When my wife was going to deliver once, I dropped her with her mother and I was traveling back to Enugu. So before I left, I said, I should pray. I said, I told her, let us pray. We sat in front of the house. And the prayer was 1 minute, 30 seconds, or maybe like 15. Definitely not up to a minute. And she said, you pray funny. I said, it will still work.
Yes, sir.
I remember the words I spoke. And there's a reason why I chose those words. I won't talk about the reason why I chose those words. I just said to her, I didn't even say Father in the name, I'd prayed that one before. I just said to her, I said, where many people go and don't return, you will go and you will return safely in Jesus' name. Amen. So her eyes were still closed. I tapped her, opened the eyes. She said, you pray funny. I said, it works. It works. And it worked. So there's nothing wrong with prayer. Prayer is good. You commit the labor into the hands of the Lord. It's good. But my friends said the sister took the sister, you know what I'm trying to say, to go and see her pastor. And by the time they finished praying, he realized that the pastor had planted thoughts of, you know, fear, worry, suspicion in the poor young woman's heart. And that was why he called me. He said, is this deliverance or bondage? He said, before she came, she was not thinking of any auntie or any uncle. Why? Because the pastor was canceling everything that any uncle may have given her to drink, everything that any auntie may have given her to eat, that their machinations will not succeed. He began to declare, they were there with the last next 1 hour. A friend of mine told me once, we went to see a pastor. The pastor said, after the things, they say he needs deliverance. So he said, then he was living in Enugu. And that's where's your business? He said, I do my business mostly in Onitsha. So he said, they need to deliver the road from here to Onitsha. So he said, they fixed an appointment. And 3 hours or so, I can't remember for sure, it's been a long time, but minimum of three. Maybe it was 4 or 5 or 6, but not less than 3 hours. This pastor was praying, the two of them. So the pastor took the road in pieces. He delivered the road. He said, Enugu to Onitsha. I'm back. He delivered, let's say, the right side of the express road. He delivered it from here to that place where truck fell the other day. Ugoyama, yes, he delivered the thing. When he finished from there to 9th Mile. From 9th Mile. Before, not Oji, never reached Oji. Amansi. Anyway, he went halfway. From there to Oji, from Oji to Oka. From Oka to Okuzu. From Okuzu to, what's the name of that place? Before Onitsha. No, checkpoint. Where the trade, this thing used to be. Unpo, thank you. Then from Unpo finally to Headbridge. Then delivered. No, sorry. Before they got there, they entered the market. I forgot. He said 3 hours. They were doing deliverance. Anything on the road, witches, wizards, enemies, obstructing progress, obstructing journey, obstructing this. And he was there foolishly shouting, amen, amen. See, all the amen some of you shout, you will pay one day. He said, my brother, I said, when he was giving me the Jesus, I was laughing. I was just laughing. When he finished, I said, what now happened? He said, oh boy, I fell sick. I thought I was going to die. I'm not joking. He said, I became so sick. For the next 1 week or so, he said he was sick. He said at the point in time he thought he was going to die. I was laughing. I said, do you know what happened? He said, what? I said, you know, that our funny prophet that used to smoke Igbo. I said, the man said, trouble sleep. He had got to go wake up. I said, what did you divide? I said, Balaba. I said, that's what you found. All the evil spirits that were hibernating under the road, hiding away from normal people like you, you uprooted them. All the ones inside the tree, you called them out. So they followed you home, not knowing where else to stay. Don't they see when Jesus used to cast them out? They used to ask permission to go to certain places. Can we enter this pig? Some of them have been cast out into the rock. Some have been cast out into the subsoil, the bedrock. They are waiting for judgment day there. You may say, come out. And they came out and said, now follow you home now. And you are complaining. The day when he told me the story, I had a very good laugh. I laughed hard. I said, my brother, they don't do that. Oh, of course, he doesn't do such nonsense anymore. I said, by the way, that person must be jobless. I said, 3 hours on only you. So nobody has got a problem for that church. And he was not a member. No, he was a visitor. People of God, that's not what they use prayer for. Prayer is used to align your walk with God. It's used to cast away things that shouldn't be in your life. Do you know if you have a relationship? Let's talk about relationship. Man, woman, single people thinking of getting married. If for any fleeting moment You feel like this may not work. But you know, you can be so much in love. That's, you know, that I love you thing. It's satanic, you know. There's a, yeah, for single people, mostly it's very, very satanic. Satan sits there. He doesn't let you think. You see church girl following Amubu. There's one prominent one, I won't tell you. American girl. This girl was a church member. Time for romance. Na Amubu. The guy used to use weed all the time. That was the person she fell in love with. She's dead. The guy is still alive. You have to know those who, they know how to smoke this thing. Don't be following them. When Ika boarded in her life, she died. You know what it means to for Ik to board? Yeah, Ik boarded in her life. Ika board. The glory departed. She didn't have any strength to continue. Then she died. But that guy had never had glory. He was used to smoking his thing. He was born smoking. He and his mother probably used to exchange this thing when they were children, when he was a child. Mommy, can I have around? He would draw it. The you that was going to church and you were singing, you know, amazing grace. That is, that was how you grew up. They gave you go and you followed. Please, young woman, I'm begging you. It's not good for you. It's not. If you know who I'm talking about, wave your hand. I don't want to start editing and no editing. Elder John, you know. Elder John, they didn't teach this one in Deeper Life. How did you know? You sure? Okay, okay. No one knows. Anyway, where am I going? If you find yourself in that kind of situation, it's not hard. Don't struggle. Go and pray. If the prayer is sincere, the way God will end the relationship, you say you no go believe. If the prayer is sincere, you know why God doesn't have any prayers? You go there and say, God, can you change him? God said, oh, is that why you came? When you think, if you can't change him, should I just end the relationship? God said, you're not serious. Get out. One angel will rush you out of the presence. He said, he's not serious yet. They're not going to hear testimonies. Somebody will say, when I met my husband, you know, all these girls that do YouTube videos. Video podcast. They can lie. Yeah. When they finish with you, you will believe nonsense. I told you. One day, one guy said, I saw something online. The guy said, when they were just writing. So one guy said, I started my business at the age of 18. By 21, I've made a few millions. By 30, I was a billionaire. I was say, what am I? One guy said, you're a motivational speaker. You're a motivational speaker. That's how you guys will be deceiving us. Hey, guys, most people who start a business at 18. At 25, they are still struggling. Don't feel bad. Some of them, the business started at 18. At 25, it has closed. They've gone to look for work. They work for 3 years, they started again. They've carried pong pong. You know what they call pong pong? You know what's pong pong? That thing they used to carry sand and concrete and water at construction site. They don't carry. According to one man, those days, he said his own bald head is not genetic. He said, I'm suffering. He said, some people, they have bald heads because he said, oh, they carry pong pong, so they all they help you. The Lord is good. That is a normal thing. Don't feel bad. Let nobody go and deceive you. Let's get back to the girl that come and tell you, when I met my husband, you know, at that time, he was not committed to the Lord, you know. But now he's on fire. People believing these are not true. Now it's on fire. It is your cheeks are on fire. Like I don't beat, shake it out of your soul. You're on fire. Maybe it's even on fire for the Lord now, but why would it be on fire for the Lord? Don't go jail, come back because of you. Nonsense. And that carry, like the girl that is carrying big Bible. The Holy Spirit was not telling me. I said, keep quiet. You have bad manners. That's why the Holy Spirit is to tell you some of these things. Let's not sit there, Joe. Young woman will not finish watching that kind of nonsense. And suddenly I have hope. Hope that God did not give. Come back to the Lord and kneel down. God said, what can I do for you? Say, I heard the testimony on the podcast. Will you do it again? And then Jay will come drive you out again. Say, this girl, you're not serious. Eh? This your love is not, it's confusing you. It's not letting you face destiny. Why don't you just kneel down and talk to me? The Lord is saying. You say, Lord, I love Emeka. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When you get up from there, wonders shall begin to happen. If we pray prayers in sincerity, the way God answers it. Can I just say something? Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes you don't even need to... Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Let me explain. Okay, no, I need to explain first before I say it. Sometimes what we call exercising faith is nothing but trust in our personal methods for solving problems. I hope you get my point. I was talking to a lady today. Something led to it. We're just talking, had to do with administration on health matters and all of that. I just said, if I don't go to hospital, it shows I have faith. I say, not necessarily. If you're in a house, you have four people living with you, your head is banging, they can see it. They want to carry it to hospital. Say, no, leave me here. See, I believe in leave me here too. I hope I get my point. But if you have four people that have control or impact in your life and they are afraid, I say, please, follow them to the hospital to calm their fear so that you can have peace around you. Then when they put you in private ward, continue praying. Jesus didn't use to minister healing to where there's confusion. Did you ever see him do that? When everybody was crying, he led all the crying people out, brought in only Peter, James, and John, and the parents of the child. You know why? If he didn't do that, there's no way he would have spoken to that child to wake up, and the child would have listened. There's no way. There's no way. What I'm going to emphasize is don't think that it's your own method, what you call faith, that God is using to... I hope I get my point. Like, you must do this by force. No. Pray to God sincerely. And many times all you need to do is as occasion serves you. You know, because I have medical training, there have been times I've been ill. Eh? And I'm holding the medicine like this. And I say, Lord, I beg. Head, they pain me. I feel swallow. I was like, God, you know, it's hard to just... And my spirit says no. And I drop it. Yes. The last one that happened like that, it was a very useless fever that was making my life miserable. I said, Lord, I take this tablet to calm the fever. That's what I think. Should I? Don't ask me how I knew, but I felt strongly in my spirit that he said no. I dropped it back there and I laid down. I know what happened to the fever. It disappeared. Instantly. That is, in a few minutes, I began to sweat. I sweated and sweated. I realized the fever was going down. I never came back. I held it like this. And I looked up and said, Lord, shall I swallow? And he said, no. I said, thank you. Calm my soul down. Someone said, if you swallow the tablet, is of the devil. I don't think so. God knows how to meet each person at the level of their faith. So many times what you just do is as occasion says you. Take life easy. It's not your aggression that's getting results. It's your sincerity with God. That you dragged yourself up to go and pray is faith. You hear what I said? Yeah, it's faith. When I was praying for people on radio, a few people called in and said they were healed by that prayer. But this is where I want to go. I told them, see, this is what's going to happen. If you are sitting, it's radio. I said, stand up. As if you are driving, park. As if you cannot, if you are lying down, I said, sit up. I said, if you cannot sit up, raise your hand. Just now, what did I tell him? I said, I need you to do something that shows that you are serious with this prayer. And my demands were simple. I know a lot of people used to listen to us till now in their cars when they are driving. I said, if you are driving, park the car. I want to pray. If you are lying down, sit up. I want to pray. If you are sitting, stand. I want to pray. If you are too weak to do any of this, raise your hands. Grab the pole of the bed. Do something slightly different and a bit of inconvenient to show that this prayer is important to you. He said, that's all I need. Corey Blake says sometimes he will send people an email. You pray for them, then send them an email. And he'll put a dot in the mail. You know, just a big dot. And tell the person, when you see that dot, touch it. And many people got hit like that. They open the email, they read the mail, and see the dot, and they stretch their finger, and they touch it. Some people say, anointing is in the dot. No, there's no anointing inside the dot. It's that obedience, that act of obedience, that shows that you want to connect with what God is doing with this prayer of agreement you and this man have. There's no stereotype way of expressing the faith. Just go with sincerity. That's what I'm emphasizing. The Lord is good. Now, how I got there, can't remember, but let's just go back. All right? So what do we do with prayer? We use prayer to align ourselves. We use prayer to make sure that we are where God wants us to be. I was saying, yes, we can break relationships that are not good with sincere prayer. That is that sincerity that is the issue? You go to God in prayer and say, Father, I can't help myself. You can. However, it's not equivocation. I know what I want, just I don't know how to do it. So, Lord, help me. You'll be amazed. Now, listen to me. The same way, I don't care, you may be addicted. You know, people are addicted to drugs these days. I don't know anybody addicted to drugs. So I used to think that it's not a common thing. But apparently, there are places where you go to, half of people there, they are high on something. Do you know it's just as easy as I have said for a Christian to have addictions broken? Addiction to anything. It's a miraculous power. It's not psychology. We're not winding anybody and trying to psych you up into strength to say no. No. I'm saying today you are smoking Igbo. You need it to align every day. Now the thing spoils the brain, I hope you know. It does. But you think that you are so hooked to it. The day you say to God, this is not right. Help me. And you say sincerely, the very smell will make you throw up next time. It's not people are not, they want to be arguing with you. No, there are men who are still arguing with you that what's wrong with marrying two wives? I don't argue such arguments anymore. If you tell me, well, why can't a man have two wives? You already want. And the want is what the problem is. So you know what I want to tell you? Go ahead. Pastor, is that not like? No, even God said he could go ahead. So what's my problem? It's not in your Bible. It's there. Don't mind this Jew guy. He doesn't know where it is. Steve knows where it is. God said they can go ahead. Where did he say it? Because of what? The hardness of your heart. Is that not what he said? It is good, just as since you are so hard-hearted, go ahead. When people are giving me arguments, it's only if you want to be a deacon. Now, first, that is taken out of context. It's totally taken out of context. For those who have not heard my argument in that area, let me give it to you. All right? What are the things he said? Leave husband of home. What are the qualities he gave for a deacon? Give me a few. I said, leave that one first. Ah, husband of home, well, that's the one you... Not giving to wine. Thank you. What else? Who has rule over his home? What else? Not a brawler. That is somebody, you know, they quarrel, fight for road. You getting my point? Yes. What else? Who has what? Hospitable. Thank you. That's number four. Thank you. Give me another one. Yeah, we have mentioned that children are well controlled. Exactly, I was waiting for that. That has a good testimony in church and outside. Let's not add the last one, husband of one wife. Now, we've counted six qualities now. Therefore, deacons, Abby. And deacons alone, Abby. So if anybody wants to give that argument next time, just tell him that, you see, your head is not well tuned. Let me tune it for you. He said it's not only husband and one wife he talked about. He talked about the fact that it should not be given to wine. So you are saying that only I can drink till I'm drunk and I fall down. I don't want to be a deacon. Not a brawler. I can go to the motor park and be fighting every day. I don't want to be a deacon. I don't want to be hospitable. I don't want to be a deacon. No, let's not be silly. He never said these are qualifications that we'll find only in deacons. He said we must find them in deacons. That's what he said. Why? Deacons are examples for others to follow in the church. And one of them was that they must be a man of one woman, not husband of one wife. King James didn't get that one right there. He's a man of one woman. Just like he must not be dishonest with money, he must not be given to wine, he also must not be given to chasing women. He must not. So if you read the Living Translation, say faithful to his wife. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I'm talking about is that somebody come with that argument, give me that kind of argument, and they argue again. Bro, just tell your wife that she don't tire, you need assistant wife. Don't bring me into the picture. Don't bring me into the picture. You guys want to do something, go ahead and do what you want to do. Don't come and harass my soul now, be quoting scripture out of context. There's one guy that calls himself daddy something. I don't want to mention we're online. There's always teaching the Bible. I feel like telling that guy, you are an OAP. You don't know the Bible. I know you can read it. You can try to think, you can explain it, but you don't, you are not called, you don't have understanding. Get away from me. Stop confusing people. Let me go into current engineering textbook now. I'm coming online and telling you how to do structure. Your building will collapse. Do you follow my point? Be following me there. Let's go and get a structural engineer to tell you how to run your roofing trusses. If you listen to me, just because I can buy a book. So instead of arguing, that's what I'm making. Take the scriptures, take it to God in prayer, and use prayer to get your soul aligned with what God wants to do in your life. And we began again. Let me go back to where we are. We said that we took some seven dedications of the thirsty soul. I won't run through all of them again. Let me just get straight to the one we are in next. And that is that number four, number five? Okay, let's run through it again. One. Okay. Seven dedications of a thirsty soul. What are those seven dedications? I want to know whether this is number... We said number one, let me just run through them. I have them here. Number one, to pursue a deep and serious walk of faith. Number two, dedication to prayer with thanksgiving and intercession. Number three, to the word dwelling richly in our hearts. And number four, to fellowship. Yeah, we're number five now, to the circumcision of Moses. Yeah, so this is number five. So what we read today is that Exodus chapter 4, and I need to remind us of what happened there. In that Exodus chapter 4, God called Moses. We saw it. Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go and all of that. Then, on the way, God sought to kill him. One of those confusing portions of the scriptures, which, if you are not trained, you are not enlightened, may be difficult for you to decode and explain what is inside there. But, of course, God has given us understanding over the years, and we have come to realize what he was saying. The fact that God called you does not mean you are immune from trouble. Did you hear what I said? The fact that you are a child of God does not mean God will not afflict you. You immunize yourself from those troubles by obedience to his word. The word of God, we said, has many aspects. Remember, there are promises. There are two I want to come into now. There are precepts and there are commandments. It is your duty to observe, to do all that is written in these things. Now, what happened to Moses was that he was not careful to observe all the things written therein. He was not careful. He was not careful. He didn't circumcise his children. That is that son he had there. That was not circumcised. Now, it is possible, if you read the context, it appears like it may have been partly because of the resistance of his wife. Why? Because when he got into trouble, she knew instinctively what the problem was. And she went ahead, we read that just now, She went ahead and circumcised the boy. And then she complained about it. She did. A bridegroom of blood you are to me because of the circumcision. Maybe of other children, of himself. What is this, you and this circumcision? That's what she said. I hope you get my point. So, we know she complained. That's why I suspect it was partly because of her resistance that he did not obey that instruction. But what we want to bring out is the fact that he got into trouble because he was not obeying the instructions of God. Small aside, you know, when I think during the day, I give you, if you meet me that day, I'll give you what I was thinking during the day. You know, something happened recently, and then some men were behaving funny, and somebody said something. This man has always been a hot Christian since he was on campus. So these things that we are complaining that he's doing these days, they don't know how he started. And many people, listen to this carefully. They want to interpret the fellow's former behavior as a serious believer, as a student. Are you getting my point? And they want to use that to legitimize what he or she is doing now. Let me just warn you. If it is wrong, it is wrong. Who's doing it doesn't matter. How good the person was does not matter. Solomon, you remember, was good. Then later on, he derailed. But what I want you to bear in mind is that this anointed man, don't forget, was Jesus tempted, the temptations you know, before or after he was anointed? Answer me. So let's assume he fell for the temptation, he bowed to Satan, turned the stones to bread, and tempted the Lord his God. And it became very powerful. Anytime he needed money, he touched the wall, money fell from the wall. It was just so powerful. And everybody followed him. Who will he have been saving by that? It's Satan, it's the agenda of Satan. But where did he get the power from? By baptism in the Jordan. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. Don't be confused. People who have been anointed by God who were serious can still bow to Satan. So watch your life. That's the point I'm making. Yeah, be very careful. And it's one reason why God was going to kill Moses. So I don't want anointed people running around doing another person's purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. I anoint you so powerfully. You get up to preach. You don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wait for you for a few years. After that, I end the whole show. I can't withdraw my anointing. The gifts or callings of God, I would that way with repentance. But I can withdraw my servant. So watch yourself. The more anointed you are, the more careful you should be. Many of us think anointing is excuse, you know, to take liberties. Because you are anointed, when you mount, you can see anything that you like and nothing bad will happen. No, that is when you should be more careful. Do you get my point? That's when you should be more careful. That's when you should be more careful. When grace has been poured upon you, you now have a personal responsibility to be more careful. Like I said the other day, things you do suddenly become they become examples for people. You didn't intend it to be examples. I told you I went for my son's matriculation. And a man saw me there. He said, Pastor Banky, he said, this must be a good school. Yeah. He didn't ask me. He said, what are you doing here? I said, my son is matriculating. He has two children there. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. He said, I'm in the right place. Yeah. So even the kind of car you buy, better be careful. Look, I'm being honest with you. Young preachers, be very careful. See, once you answer the call to ministry, your life is no longer your own. There are things I can do, or let's say I could do, but I wouldn't do. Simply because it's going to set a bad example for those who are following me. It's not bad, but I beg. I'll give a very simple and straightforward one. Nothing evil. You can drive, you can deliver your children anywhere you wanted. It doesn't concern me. When my wife was still having kids, you had to have all of them in Nigeria. All. I'm serious. All. I didn't care the money I had or they didn't have. You must have them where we are living. Because if I export you to go and deliver abroad, all those who listen to me will copy me. They will. They will copy me. Before you know what's happening. And your wife is praying. So some just want to let them do it. Let it not be because of me. I want everybody following me to have a cool head. I don't want you under tension. I'm not going to break my back to look for money to send my children to expensive schools. Why? I don't want people who follow me to go through that stress. Everything I do, I know it's an example. See, if you don't want to answer the call to ministry, don't bother. But if you think call to ministry is praise God, Papa is coming. You'll not be clear. Make way, make way. Papa is coming. You think that is ministry. One day I saw Bishop Oedipo arrive. Ah, even me, the thing is sweet. Oh my God. Father, Boko Shayadoba. The convoy of Rolls Royces. And when they opened that door, I was looking at the feet as the first foot came out and it dropped gang gang. Goose pimple passed through me. I'm not going to lie to you. They brought down the second foot. And it was sparkling. His clothes were sparkling white. And everybody was clearing the road. And the pastor prostrated fully on the ground. And they took the mic. Said, tonight, it shall be your night. I said, God, it's my night. The Lord is good. No, what I'm going to say, see, everything you are doing there, people have, don't just assume that that is what ministry is good, though. So, I'm just trying to tell you that that thing, I'm not saying it's evil. Do you get my point? But that's not ministry. That's not what defines ministry. God can do it, but that's not what defines ministry. Don't ever forget that. That's not what defines ministry. There are people equally anointed, of the same age, who took Keke into the bush to go and preach. The same anointing came upon, and it was the night of that village. Do you get my point? So when you want to enter the call to ministry, don't answer the call to Rolls Royce. If Jesus was on earth today, there are times he will ride the Rolls Royce. There are times he will trek to where they are going. Paul said, I learned to abound and to abase. That's what ministry is. The life is no longer your own. That's what ministry is. Everything you do is not an example. That's what ministry is. I hope you're getting my point. That's what ministry is. Now, why does that talking about? Let's go back to Moses. In the case of Moses, he did not do what he was supposed to do. So God decided to withdraw him. What was it that he did not do? That's what I want to emphasize. He did not circumcise his son. We've talked about this before. You can go to our series, The Survival and the Death of Moses, about 4 or 5 messages in that short sub-series inside the whole series called Learning from Moses. Okay? Go and listen. But this is the summary of it. I realized studying that. Who broke the covenant? Was this his son? No, it was the father. Was the father circumcised at that point? Yes. And he was going to die for not circumcising his son. What does that tell you? I realized all of a sudden, the way the order of the covenant was, the circumcision on your son is a sign of your covenant with God, not the one on you. Because if you had generations, each young man that circumcised would have been circumcised by his father. And he was too young to make a covenant. So who made the covenant? His father. So the covenant, the sign of the covenant the father made is the circumcision of the children. When the covenant first starts, the man himself will be circumcised. But God told Abraham, everyone inside your house. If Abraham was circumcised and the people in his household were not circumcised, he would have broken the covenant of God. And that's precisely what Moses was doing. Moses did not circumcise his son. He was breaking the covenant of God. Now, what's the application to us for us today? And that's what our prayer is about. Remember, we're 7 dedications, right? Now we say to the circumcision of Moses. So what is it? What do I mean by that? This is what it means. Every single thing that God gives to you must be circumcised as a sign of your covenant with God. Let me say it again. If God gives you children, they must be, now, our circumcision is where? Of the heart. So it's a spiritual circumcision now. If God gives you children, they must be circumcised. If God gives you a wife, in quote, she must be circumcised. If God gives you a husband, he must be, as a sign of your commitment to God, he must be circumcised. Now, remember, it's not physical circumcision we're talking about now. It's consecration and dedication to God. If he gives you a business, it must be circumcised. If he gives you, now, there's something along the line. You can have a ministry, and it is not circumcised. Yet, it's God that gave it to you. You have a ministry, and it is not advancing the... Because anointing is fun. You can use anointing for anything you... Like we say, you bloody like. And it will still flow. Now, when I make this statement, it's not a sign of pride, it's a sign of humility. I'm about to make a statement. We sound like pride, but my wife understands. It's humility, actually. It's recognition of some issues. Sometimes I look at my wife, you know, when we're at home, one day, I heard, you know, I saw clips. Some people cut our messages and put clips on YouTube. I heard one clip. I said, oh, more. I told my wife, I'm anointed. Yeah, it sounds like pride, but actually she knows what I mean. When I say that, I don't mean big. No. What I mean literally is this. When I talk, I hear some things I said later. I realize it was not I, but the Spirit of God speaking through me. That's what I mean by I'm anointed. I'll give you the testimony before I went back to the church where I walked. As a young man, let me explain. At that time, I was just about a year or two older than my son Akinlu is right now. When I went to that church. Yeah, no. About the age he is right now, maybe a year older than him. Yeah, about his age. And I did Bible study script for them. Almost a whole year. I came back later. They gave me the script I did. I said, no, I didn't do this. They said, you were the one that wrote it when you were here. I said, no. I was arguing with them. They were laughing. You know why? I read things I did not know I knew. I saw arrangement of words I did not know I could do. They said, you wrote these things. So when I say I'm anointed, what I mean is that the Spirit of God was upon me while I was doing that. So when the Spirit departed, I was like any other man. Do you follow my point? And I did not know what I knew because I did not know it. Because it was the Spirit of God that was what? Giving me that anointing, give me that unction, you know, giving me that ability. I was speaking as he was speaking. My learning and training and tutelage gave me the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to move. But it was the Holy Spirit moving. I give testimonies, this is something we did those days. Ah, I say, man, we were filled with the Spirit. I didn't know. You know, I've told you before, when they lay hands on you, you fall down. That's you're not filled. That you fell. That is. You hear what I said? In fact, the falling can be a sign that the Spirit could not enter. You don't know that? They lay hands on you. Come on, your boy, receive. You fall. Bam. The Spirit tried to enter. Your head was hard. And if you know physics, it makes sense. So he blasted you backward. Did he enter you? If he entered you, you will not fall. True. So you fell, that is no proof of anything. It only means you fell. Who received the greatest anointing on this earth that's ever existed? Who's the person? The day four. This is your falling anyhow. It's a sign that you are not strong. It's not a sign that you are heavily anointed. When those who have the strength of soul, when heaven came in bodily form and entered them, everybody could see it, congealed the atmosphere around. The aura was visible. Yet they entered Jesus Christ. Just said, now you receive like dove soul. It was as if a dove alighted. Look, I don't believe the Holy Spirit was shaped like a dove. I think it was John that said the gentility with which he received it was like a dove perching. So you see, you are falling anyhow. It's not that you are anointed. It means you are a small boy. So when the thing comes, it will knock you down. So every time, and you get up, feeling very, listen. Zivo, the guy not get strength. That's all. The real sign that you are anointed is when you leave that place. Yeah. The real sign that it entered is not whether you fell or did not fall. It's when you leave that place. And when you will speak and they will turn. Who said that? This boy. You just spoke the kind of wisdom we had never heard. And you two are like, what? You said this just now. And you said, I said that. Yes. Now, when you heard that problem, you told us this. Yeah, that's what we are going to do. They do it and they come and give you a testimony. So you know that thing you say, and you're looking at yourself, ah, small boy like me. That's a sign the Holy Spirit entered. What's the sign the Holy Spirit entered? Everybody is speaking one way. They are, you know, like, I see some people talk to them. They say they should just shut down the country. yeah, they're telling me. A woman, she's senior to me. No, they should shut down. That's what I tell my children. I tell all these children. What was in that? They don't have doctors again around in Nigeria. He said, yes, they've all gone abroad, and I think they should. Let's shut down this country. And I said, we're not shutting it down anything. He said, these are people talking now. He said, the leaders, where are their children? I said, I don't care. I said, this country, I will collect and give to my children. They will possess the land. You can't be running up and down and you want to possess the land. Are you crazy? You cannot do that. Runners will continue running. They will never stop. Those who want to possess the land will dig into the land and say to the land, I will possess you. A sign you are filled with the Spirit, everybody is talking one way. You say the other one with conviction. That's a sign you are filled. It's not whether you fell or didn't fall. It's the things you say. When everybody is talking, losing their heads, we keep yours. It's a sign you are filled. When everybody is afraid and you are not afraid, it's a sign you are filled with the Spirit. It's not whether you fell or didn't fall. You can fall and come out, nothing there. You can fall and something is there. Do you get my point? Yeah, anyone, it's okay. But just don't rely on, I fell. And don't be discouraged by, I did not fall. And if you want to fall, what if you need to lay hands on you? Fall. It's free. Just check your back. Just be sure there's nothing to injure you. But when you live there, and they tell you, hey, this person was rushing him to hospital, they say, oh, wait, let me pray for him first. You pray, then they go to hospital, they get there, they say, ah, there's nothing wrong. Told him there's nothing wrong. Then they remember that young woman said to us, let us pray before you go. And she laid her hands. That's a sign you are filled. I hope you're getting my point. Now, again, then okay. How did we get there? You have been helping me. I know what I will go back to in case I miss exactly what I said. But let's get back to what I said. So, okay, yeah, I know what I was saying. Now, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, something made me go to that. Let's go back to where I began it. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, is that okay? In a funny way, the anointing is like yours. What I mean is this. Let me give you an example. I told you I'm anointed, right? There are a number of things there. There are things that God gave me as an anointing, and I can tell you where I picked some of them from here and there as my life was moving on. One ability to understand the scriptures. I met a pastor once, when he decodes the scriptures, you almost fall down. Just read one line of scripture, when he, you know, like, you just open, when you open the seals, you hear the voice of the seventh archangel, when a man opens the seals, my God. I told my wife, I sat under him for a while, and I collected it. Yes. There are times I read the scripture. I was teaching my children something in the house yesterday and today. And the way the thing take tie, I wanted to go and write a book. If I was tempted to share it today, but the Holy Spirit say, leave it. I learned it from somebody. That is like, not like it. There's no method. I know when I drank the Spirit, I can give you the name of the person through whom God said, go and listen to this guy. I will pour the Spirit into you from his mouth. It's one anointing. Another one, they go together though, but they are different unctions, all right? Another one is the ability to have you sit down here, and you are listening to me, and you seem to be enjoying it. It's not normal. It's an anointing. I don't know, you know, Pastor Bang, he has, so when you see his behavior, you can't move. I was preaching before I had this behavior, so that's not the trick. I'm going to write a book, how you put your foot forward and bring it down and move your leg. I didn't know my leg was moving. I would just preach it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what Paul called the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you sit down and listen. and that anointing has one portion to it, it makes you believe me unless your head is not correct. There are some crazy people, they come and listen to me. All they are saying at the back is trying to explain what I'm doing wrong. You know, I just look at them and say, you need deliverance. I'm not saying I'm doing anything right. But if that's the wrong God you are focused on, it's like you go to where they are sharing money. So that first note is shared. The edge bends small. This one is dirty small. They are not in sequence. And so the sharing will pass you by. Do you get my point? But where I'm going is that the ability to sit down and accept is an anointing. Something's making you sit. Something's making you accept. It's called the spirit and power. Now, this is where I'm going. When Satan will come and say, bow to me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Let me tell you what ends up happening. You will come. That's it. The same spirit will go. If the Lord said, tell an angel, round, you know, call my children when Banky wants to preach, let them come. And when I get up also, the angel doesn't know the difference. You will still call them, they will still come. Then the spirit will now say, time to sell that thing now. All right, you know, we just, praise God, we launched one coin. It's called the Kingdom Coin. Amen, praise God. Early investors are guaranteed a thousandfold. Yeah, pastors have done this. It's called the Kingdom Coin. It's a new cryptocurrency. You know, then I begin to tell you about the end of the world. How your money is not safe in the banks. How can you trust the banks with your money? You have to have a system that cannot be grabbed by government, and you don't have to pay things to the bank. That's where you store your money, and the increase, you know, suddenly there's going to be a, you know, an exponential increase in the value. You know, after a while, I will have confused you with my words, but convinced you to bring your money. What the pastor says doesn't matter. All I know is if I put my money, I will be rich. You know why you believed it? It's an anointing. It's an anointing. There was a time a man stole his company's money. In today's naira, that would be like 80 million naira of today. So long ago. That time was like 6 million. And he gave everything to his church. He didn't even buy television. People say, why would he do that? I said, you have not been bewitched. That's why you're asking such questions. When people are bewitched, they do all kinds of strange things. And I almost felt, then I felt that I can tell who bewitched him. It's a man I know. I said, this is the man who bewitched him. He has the evangelistic anointing, but he went around using it to collect money. And people were stealing to give to him. So he can be anointed and do crazy things with your anointing. I went to preach in one church in Lagos those days. I was in Lagos then. One man came to see me, gave me his card. I still remember his first name. And he said, I need you to talk to my staff. I'm sure God looked at him and said, you are not serious. And as for me, he didn't bother. He said, you won't even have the opportunity, so just forget it. I preached in church. He wants me to come and motivate his staff. And many of us pastors do it. And they give us what? Money. And the money is usually better than the one you get from preaching, normal preach. That's how we bow to Satan. So it will come about, and it has happened, that when a company wants to increase its growth, he wants to increase the output of his staff, they call us. It's not a wrong business, but not for you. You're not a business developer. You're not a motivational speaker. You're a Bible teacher. Except that that gift can be used for virtually anything. Why am I talking about it? It is your responsibility, therefore, to circumcise even your anointing. It is. It is. I've had opportunities again and again to speak on air. I told you during COVID, I have a classmate who works on one of those USA things, lives abroad. When they call me and say, Banky, please, I've been told to get somebody, you know, they're going to talk on TV, you know, they'll stream it on YouTube, television everywhere, and then, you know, COVID period, to explain this about, explain everything. Please, they need somebody to help do this. Can I give them your name to contact one of these big television stations in Nigeria? Send me a chat. Hi. I said, my sister. Now, for many people, that's an open door. For me, it's a no-go area. Now, there was nothing. Now, this is not a bragging thing. What's the full meaning of COVID? Don't worry, it's not your fault. I know you don't know. I just asked just to prove that I know more than you in that area. That's all. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? What is the name of the virus that causes it? You that want to talk?
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus, plenty. There are 1 million. That particular one, what will be in name?
I don't know.
And I need you to say it. I need you to say it. This boy that's always on computer. Okay, now himself. Okay, let me try Prada.
I don't know.
Good. I'm happy all of you don't know. They okay? You say, Pastor, don't embarrass me, Joe. Anyway, the name of the virus is SARS-CoV-2. Severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2. Because there was SARS-CoV, which is now SARS-CoV-1. Now, to tell you I know it, I'm just trying to show off. All I'm doing is showing off. I can show off more things. I can tell you how it kills people, the basis of the treatment. I know all those things. So I wasn't afraid to answer questions. I knew what to do. I knew all the myths, all the lies, all the things he said. Bill Gates wants to take over the world. His son is the Antichrist. Nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. And some people said that there's no coronavirus. It's 5G. As killing people. According to Basket Mouth. So this is not highness talk. All right? You get my point? Yes. You know they call highness talk. All right? So I knew what to say. It's not as if I didn't know it, of course. I knew more than the average person, not because I was too good or too intelligent, but because I'm a pathologist. So I should know. And when I don't, I study hard. When something becomes topical, that's what we do. You really go and read up on all the research. You keep on up to date. So when I was called to come and speak, I knew what to say. But I told the woman, my classmate, I said, my sister, there's only one problem. Anytime my voice is heard on the media, it must be preaching. That is not preaching. I'm sorry. I said, I can have a discussion. I can teach medical students. I can talk to doctors, postgraduate people. I can talk to them. I said, but once you bring it, you are going to put it on air. Once the voice comes on air, they should know. This is secrets and truths of the kingdom of God. Pastor Banky is preaching the principles of life, establishing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. They should know that. You are about to listen to secrets and truths of the kingdom Pastor Banky is teaching. They should know. And then the voice is heard. Only one thing must follow it. The teaching of the word. I'm sorry to say, you can't pay me enough to make me change that. The day you hear me preaching, talking in the public, as on air, on media, and stuff like that, I'm not, come and ask me, Pastor, what happened? There must be an explanation. And if I don't have, no, I'm backsliding. People do it every day, nothing wrong with it. But for me, can I use the word? Branding. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing. Just give an example. The voice has been branded with the teaching of the kingdom of God. Nothing wrong with other people doing other things. It's just that why I confuse people. I told you one day my wife invited somebody to come for all this, invite your friends. They want to do business. So they said, please invite your friends. So she didn't go herself. She just invited people. And she used the name Banky as part of her name. One woman saw it, took her Bible, went to the venue, and God started hearing that this product and what we are doing is that we are trying to penetrate into the market. The woman stepped out of the hall, brought out her phone, and called my wife. Madam, please, I'm a bit confused. Did you say number 15, Chime Avenue, whatever? My wife said, yes. He said, but they are doing product launch. He said, yes, no, I thought you wanted to market things. That's why I was invited you. He said, I thought your husband was preaching. Well, I said, when did I say my husband was preaching? That's when she looked at the message again and read it. You know what happened? She just saw Banky in it and saw the address and said, let me go and hear the gospel. Not knowing it was product launch. And Ivanki there was Ivanki's wife. Do you get my point? You have to circumcise everything in your life. You know, you circumcise your family. God helped me. I've done that to mine. I told somebody, where's Benga? I was talking about that. I said, Benga looks like someone who can join the military. You know why I say so? I can't join the military, personally. Not because I'm afraid. I just don't have the temperament. Benga has a funny temperament since he was young. That's one child that I had that has never been afraid of the dark. Has never cried because of pain. You flog him, you are the one that has a problem. Not him. That's pain from flogging. One day I had to call him. He said, before I kill this boy, come, sit down. I said, is that doesn't pain you when you get flogged? He said, it does. I said, so why don't you cry? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. So I said in the house, I said, now if we join soldier. I said, if they shoot, the boy not going to dodge. He just carry his gun, carry his backpack, and run 50 kilometers with 25 kg on his back. Go donate him to Nigerian Marines. Do we have Nigerian Marines? I don't know. So I'm just talking about that. I said, look, I said, there's one person in my house that can join the military. Yeah, they say, ha, ha, ha. I said, what is her? No. God forbid. I said, God forbid what? I said, oh, do you realize people's children are fighting Boko Haram? Do you realize people's children are fighting insurgency? Do you realize you are in your home, you are safe because some people are outside? That is why Americans are always thanking the people for their service. They know they have the freedom they have because some people are laying down their lives every day, putting their lives in danger. I said, what makes your children superior to theirs? I said, my children tell me that, look, they come home that morning and joining the Air Force. You will kneel down. I will lay hands on you. You go back to battle. I will not tell you to come back. Not because I want you to die. No. But because I'm wise enough to know how God reasons. You're not going to die anyway. One day earlier than you're supposed to. People say, ah. I said, what do you mean? Ah, ah, ah. I tell people, see, the Lord and I had the discussion. My children are messengers of God. Wherever he wants to send them to, they must go. God forbid I should strategize for them to be safe. They have been circumcised. They have been given to him. They have been. They are, if one comes one day and says, the Lord, you know, I will calm you down. I don't want youthful exuberance. I don't want one pastor to go and motivate you abnormally. Say, so right now, you remove your intestines for the Lord. That's not what I mean. I'll just make sure that these decisions are made. And of course, like I was telling my daughter the other day, she said, Daddy, I prayed. And I said, hey, listen, my friend, anything God tells you is subject to my confirmation. So I said, yeah, I'm the father here. So go back, you do what I said. Tell the Lord, your father said, you get my point? Uh-huh. Leave that. You can't be in my house, be hearing God. You smoke. It's fairly on my path. How we hear God? For all of us. If God talks to you, say, go and talk to my dad. You know him. God says, I know him. I know him. I told her, I said, any sign? He said, she gave the Lord a sign. I said, did I confirm the sign? She said, no. I said, that it is overruled. Yes. I said, I didn't confirm the sign. It's overruled. Next time I want to give God the sign, come and ask my permission. I said, Daddy, I was thinking of asking God for a sign. I said, let me hear it. Because some of these you are asking God, I know the answer. And God ain't going to tell you because Daddy knows. Ah, some of you are looking at me funny. I've given you the wisdom. The wisdom of God. True. Where I'm going is that, listen, all I will just do is make sure that you are not being pushed by youthful exuberance. That's the only thing I can do. I'll be careful. I'll pray. I will pray and pray until I'm as convinced as you are that what you are saying is right. And it's not too much of a problem. I'm not saying it's easy, but because long before now, we have decided that with the Lord, that these children are not mine, they are His. What are you there for? I'm their quartermaster. I'm the master sergeant. Is that what they call them? Yeah, master sergeant. I'm the one that's responsible for training you. I'm the drill sergeant. Tell you how to pray, how to walk in righteousness and justice, how to fear God, things that are supposed to do. I teach you the word of God every day. I lead by example, God helping me. And the time comes, you are released into His purpose. And I must tell you ahead of time about His purpose anyway. I would never try to hide you anywhere. Nigeria is dangerous. That's why you were born here. What is wrong with you? That's why you were born here. That's why you were born here. The person was telling me, let's show that I was just like a joke. I said, no, we are going to reclaim the country. I lead a platoon. That's on the home front. As a platoon of soldiers. So my children say, if I hear you say, I'm going to ab. You never put R inside. Sit down first. To go and do what? You're not allowed to go and run around looking for money. No, it's not allowed. And you must serve the Lord. All of them, no, they can't even try not to serve the Lord. Because we don't block the road. I say, into gutter you shall fall. They know. And that they fall into gutter wrongly, they will say, oh boy, I go where I'm not supposed to go. Your personal safety in life and personal prosperity is not my priority. How would you have imagined that Elizabeth and Zachariah, because it was the son of their old age, they told John not to prophesy? Abomination. Abomination. Eh? Not to prophesy. This was why God didn't even let you deliver him until you were old. The boy must prophesy. They must behead him at the age of 30 because he must decrease while the Lord increases. May I not be the one to stand on the path of God's destiny for anybody? No. That's what they call circumcision. That's what I'm talking about. Business, you cannot have a business idea and you want to fulfill the same purpose as unbelievers. One of the things God taught me in recent times, there's no business idea that can guarantee a flow of money. None. For the child of God, there's none. If you look at your business as a source of flow of funds for you, He will put a curse on it. Better see everything you are doing as an assignment from God. Every single thing. An assignment. Every single thing, an assignment. Every single thing, an assignment. Everything, single thing, assignment. Let's rise to our feet. Let's pray. Let us pray. That's what I mean by the circumcision of Moses. No matter where it is, you get a job, you go and pray, you circumcise the job. You know, if you're a Christian politician, it's not everything you will agree to do. Because before you went in there, you realized, this is not for my glory. It's for the glory of the Lord. Do you understand that? Yes, before you went in there, you understood that this is absolutely not for my glory, for the glory of the Lord. For example, I don't have to win the election. I just need to do what is right. The power belongs to God. He knows how to make people win elections. But I must go there and demonstrate the righteousness of God. So before I start out, I have prayed my prayer as a child of God. I will have said, God, this place I'm going, I'm anointed as an example for politics. Lord, I will not sell your anointing to further the agenda of the enemy. You know, it's a battle we are in every aspect of life. I've discussed here before why we do business. Number one, that's not the way we said it, even though you are correct too. Number one, to be a blessing. What does that mean? For example, now, if I design beautiful graphics or I do artwork, whatever it is, a business is set up to make it easy to You understand? Further that gift of God in affecting many people's lives. That's what it's going to be a blessing. Is that okay? And that's just an example. What other one? To establish righteousness. In anything I'm doing in life, there's what is called the righteousness of God. That is the proper order of doing things. And my best example there all the time is Henry Ford. Henry Ford was a car manufacturer. And he said, you buy my car, but your name is not on it. You won't see a car that's called Steve-O simply because you are the one that paid. The car will still be Ford. He said, my name is on the engine, not your name. So my integrity is at stake, not yours. For that reason, he offered warranty. Say the car stops anywhere, call us. It's our problem, not your own. Because your name is not on it. If you leave the car on the road and walk away, nobody knows it's a Steve. They say it's a Ford. The owner's name is Steve, but the car is a Ford. That's what we mean to establish what? Righteousness. To teach people how to do things. What is right to do? Give me another one. To get a good name for the Lord. There's a way you do things. People now, after a while, they say, he's a Christian. And they start giving your Christianity as an excuse for your right doing. That's another one. That's three. Give me another one. To fill the midst of you with what? Righteousness. It's interacting with people that you keep on removing the wrong sides of you and learning what is right to do. But anyway, and then another one, one of the last ones is to multiply resources, to multiply money. It's a measure of how well you are doing business. Now, if you are going to do business as a Christian, these things are paramount. All the world is like, today I was talking about people launching crypto, and then just, you see, scams everywhere, scams, scams. Some of you want to go and learn how to scam people. They tell you, they call it forex trading and crypto asset management. You're just learning how to scam people. Oyoshi, are you getting my point? Yeah, you're a thief. You're just looking for how to steal from people. You don't know anything. You're not investing anything into their lives. You're not helping them with anything. You're just trying to help them get rich quick. Remember, here, we don't like get rich quick schemes. And we don't market it to other people too. It's how to help you get rich quick. It's not me that will tell you. So when I want to start a business, therefore, I put all these things in place and deliberately consecrate myself, consecrate the business to the Lord that it's only going to be to establish a good name for the Lord along these lines. It's not that I want to go and do business, then I get money, then I say to God, after I've done all kinds of dishonest business, or the orukuru, you know what they call orukuru? It's a Delta word for shifty worker. Eh? Mago mago. Which other word do you call it? Kurukere. Exactly. You have many words for it. Mago mago, kurukere, uruguru. Aha. After you've done all of this, you now come to church. Lord, this is your portion. God say, ye. As I live, it no go better for you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that's what we'll do, even with business. Let's begin to pray. All right? As I was speaking, different things were coming to you. As parents, please, consecrate your children again. Remember, God doesn't take it lightly. Everything must be circumcised. Everything must be circumcised. Now let's begin to pray. Everything must be circumcised. Remember, say, Lord, this is this child that I asked of you, Samuel. That was what Hannah called that boy because I asked him of the Lord. Say, Lord, today I return my Samuel to the temple. It's important. Say, Lord, I return my Samuel to the temple. I return my Samuel to the Lord. Say, whatever you have given me, Lord, I will give back to you. I give back to you right now. Say, Lord, I give it back to you. My children, I give them back to you. My spouse, I give him, I give her back to you. I remember the story of Kenneth Hagin. The wife and him, they didn't have that circumcision complete in their hearts. And then one day the man collapsed. And let's use the word, he began to die. And the Lord and the wife went and circumcised that marriage, that home. And said, Lord, you can have him. Because before then she was complaining and grumbling all the time. That he used to travel a lot. He used to travel a lot. And I said, go and take a church and settle down so we can have a steady life also. Meanwhile, God had ordained for him to be going from one place to the other, teaching the word of God. And that was when he just suddenly he collapsed and he began to die. And then she, like Zipporah, circumcised the situation. And the man rose up and he was well. He died later, maybe 40, 50 years later, having affected the church in this generation. That's what I mean by circumcised. The spouse, the husband, the wife also. But I will not be an obstruction. I will help him do the will of God. I will help her do the will of God. This wife is not primarily for me, but is for the advancement of God's purpose. This husband is not primarily for me, but for the advancement of God's purpose. One day I told my wife, tell your mother-in-law, that's my mother, of course. I joke about that once in a while when I want to speak. I said, tell your mother-in-law that her son is a preacher and I will travel. Because anytime I will travel, my mother will, you know, anxiety will come into her. He said, I'm praying for you. I said, Mommy, if you want to pray for me, pray. Don't add anxiety to it. So one day my wife called and said, get used to it. He will travel. You will read that he's answering you from Sokoto, answering you from Jos. You will see it online. You see flyer. Supposed to be in Bauchi. Supposed to be in Maiduguri. Supposed to be in Port Harcourt. I said, just give it to him, the Lord. That's what she told my mother. Just leave him. Just be praying for him. But don't expect that he will stay in Enugu so that he will not, because the roads are dangerous. He will be on those roads, though, Mommy. He's a preacher. You give birth to a teacher of the word, and he must go around teaching. That's what we mean. That is what we mean. Consecrate everything. You've just started a business. It's not your source of income. God is your source. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you are my source. I will not allow anything to replace you in my life. My business will not become my God. So that business is not booming and broke. No. It's called the circumcision of Moses. It's one of our dedications. We must dedicate ourselves. Let us pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this career you have given me is not for my good. That is not for my own agenda. It's to further the agenda of God. That's why if I'm a university lecturer, I will behave differently. That's why if I'm a secondary school teacher, I will behave differently. That's why if I'm in civil service, because I'm not here to do any other thing but to advance the kingdom. Like we learned business by the Spirit last year. We're not doing business to make money. We are doing business, first of all, to advance the kingdom of God. So say to the Lord, I consecrate my career again. I lay it all on the altar. I lay it all on the altar. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I lay it all on the altar. The work I'm doing. See, invoke the power of God into that work by saying, Lord, I'm not here for money. I'm here to advance the kingdom. Yeah, you need to pray. Say, Lord, I'm not here for money. I am here to advance the kingdom. Oh, you need to pray, Lord, I am not here for money. I am here to advance the kingdom. So, Lord, of all you have given me, I've returned everything back to you. I consecrate my home. I consecrate my children. Now, I want you to specifically consecrate those children again. You know, we do children education when they are given birth to. Now, dedicate them again. Because sometimes you have to, you know, make this point again and again. It's like reenacting a covenant. Israel used to offer sacrifice every year. They used to enter into that covenant as if it's fresh. And Jesus said also, when we take communion, the communion table, when we participate in that communion table, we're entering into that king covenant with him again. We are reiterating that which is already established. So consecrate your children again. Now, you know you did when they were young, when they were babies. But say it again. Mention their names. Akinlu is not my son, though. He's your son. He's just my junior in training. I equip him for the kingdom of God, to be a soldier in the army of God. Say, Olugbenga Daniel, that is your portion. Amena, listen. Just mention all your children's names. Mention all of them. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I present him, I present her again. I present him, I present her again.
I present him. Mention your children's name one by one. Say, you. Now speak to them. You know, sometimes David will say, I speak to my soul. In the same manner, I speak to your children. They may not be there in front of you, but you are speaking to their souls. You are speaking to their spirit. Say, you will serve God. You are not hiding anywhere. I'm not shielding you from danger. The only shield from danger I have is to hide you in the rock of Christ. The Lord loves justice. I will teach you justice. The Lord loves those who are upright in heart. I will teach you uprightness. He says, see, I have chosen Abraham that he will instruct his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord, that they will do righteousness and justice. Now speak to the Lord. Say, my children, Lord, I will teach them to do righteousness and justice so that you will be able to fulfill that which you have promised concerning my lineage. I'm not shielding them there from anything. I'm shielding them from the world. Not from danger, but from the world. Say, Lord, keep them from the evil one. Yeah, pray for them. Keep them from the evil one. And when he was talking about that the evil one will not lead them into disobedience. When he said, keep them from the evil one, what did he have in mind? That they will not follow the example of Eve, who followed the evil one into disobedience. They will not follow the example of Adam, who, not being deceived, followed the wife in disobedience. He said, keep them from the evil one. What did he mean? That they will not have temptation bigger than they can handle. Keep them from... So pray for them like that. That they will not be defiled in such a manner that the Lord will no longer find them useful. Pray for everyone under your watch in your household. Pray for them. That, Father God, everyone you have put under my care. Because Abraham said, God said to Abraham, you will sacrifice even the servants born in your house. That means everything under your care. If you are walking somewhere and they put something under your care, that thing's been circumcised. It's just been circumcised. For what purpose? For advancing righteousness and the kingdom of God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are believers in Christ Jesus. We are pursuing just one thing. The establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. The promotion of the knowledge of Christ. Even this body you have, circumcise it. Say, Lord, give me strength that I will follow your purpose, that will execute your will. Give me strong eyes that will have visions of God and follow them. Keep my bones strong, even in old age, as it is written. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Say, Lord, let me flourish. David said in that Psalm 118, I will not die, but I will live. Why? I need to tell of the wonders of God. I need to tell of the works of the Lord. Pray. Say, Father God, from you I receive strength. Now, somebody is going to be healed as a result of this prayer. Yes. Yes. Eyes that were growing dim, strength comes back to those eyes. Bodies that were becoming weak, you pray this prayer, they are getting the vitality, refreshed vitality. They are getting refreshed vitality. Because Moses was going to die because things God gave to him, a crucial one, was not circumcised. Somebody needs to circumcise this body. Yes. Say, Lord, give me strength to serve you. Give me strength to answer my calling in life. Many became weak because they did not discern what God wanted them to do. Many became weak. Say, Lord, give me strength. Strengthen my heart. Strengthen my body to obey you. That's the consecration. That's how we move to a new level in life. Consecrate your life, oh. That's what we call the circumcision of Moses. And let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Thank the Lord for accepting this sacrifice from your hands. Because the Lord did not reject the Samuel you brought to the temple. So, Lord, thank you. Because this is my Samuel, is not rejected. Say, give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Because this Samuel has not been rejected. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.